The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie that shows us that bartending is really freaking cool until it's really shitty, but then it's pretty cool again when you gotta raise a family to it?
The movie that teaches you not to fuck your best friend's wife, because you didn't know that, I guess.
The movie that squanders an R rating with no violence, no nudity, and just two ass shots. Not even any language.
This is Cocktail on Blockbuster Nostalgia. Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take ya. Bermuda, Bahama, come on, pretty mama. Key Largo, Montego, baby, why don't we go? Jamaica, off the Florida Keys. Hey, blockheads. Welcome to what will surely be our least popular episode.
I like the enthusiasm in that introduction. Hey, sigh.
You know.
Hey, sigh, blockheads, sigh.
Sigh. So here, you know, blockheads, it's... So we're going to be talking about Cocktail, and it's just the two of us. I'm, of course... EG Sites.
I am Francisco Landin. This is the first episode with just the two of us in a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while since it's just been the Tudyk boys. Hey, Alan, what's up?
Yeah. Alan Tudyk is a very close personal friend.
As a long-time listener of the podcast know.
Yeah, and he dubbed us the Tudyk boys. I remember he was like, you guys, we have fucking rocked it out so hard. You guys are the Tudyk boys. So that's what we went by. That wasn't our words. Those were his words.
Yeah, his words, not ours. The dynamic duo, if you will.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not saying which one of us is Batman. I mean, clearly it's...
But one of us is
Batman. One of us is Batman, and it's up to you in the audience to decide. I guess it could be during that like time during Batman Incorporated where Dick was also Batman.
Yeah, like everybody Batman? Was Batman.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So everybody takes a turn at Batman.
Yeah, of course. Point. I mean, that's the only fair.
Yeah, for sure. And we've had Emma on. We've had a couple other.
Yeah, they know. They know. Nathan, let's move on.
All those fucking.
They're not on this time though. No. Yeah, but they'll be back. Maybe. Who knows? I don't know. Fuck them.
Just us for this one. We are gonna talk about Cocktail, man. 1988.
Yeah. So this is a bad movie.
Yeah. In 1988. So we have talked about a lot of good movies recently, and thank God that we go back to just shitty movies.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have a lot to shit on. It's bad.
Cocktail is not a very good movie. It's actually a really shitty movie. But in 1988, it did pull in $78.222 million. $200,000.
Don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt yourself.
I'm pretty drunk for this one, man.
Yeah.
I had to get pretty drunk for this
movie. Yeah. I was like, you have to get pretty drunk to watch this movie. That's for goddamn sure.
A movie about bartenders in New York and then Jamaica and then New York? I gotta get fucked up.
My God. This movie has so many different things going on, and any one of them could potentially work as a good movie, but none of them do.
Yeah, and we were talking about this because Tom Cruise makes his movie between, like, other good movies.
Yeah, Tom Cruise had a pretty good run. I mean, Tom Cruise's whole career has been a pretty good run.
Yeah, actually, when you look back, I mean, as crazy as he is, his career is really fucking solid.
Yeah, it's a really... I mean, there's a few, like, you know, whatever, but most of... he's been in a lot of good movies.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at this era of Tom Cruise, he's coming off of Top Gun and Color of Money.
Yeah. Which are both, well, I mean, Color of Money is a really, really good movie. And Top Gun is credited
as a classic.
Top Gun is credited as being the first summer blockbuster movie ever made. Yeah, it was just, it hit every fucking note. You say what you will, it hit every note. And it was there to appease the audiences, and the audiences fucking ate it up.
Oh, yeah. They lapped that shit up.
Yeah, it was never, like, really condescending to the audience. It was just kind of like a fun action movie.
And 6 months after this movie comes out, Rain Man comes out, which is... a really good movie with a really good Tom Cruise performance.
Yeah, very good
Tom Cruise. And a year later, Born on the 4th of July, which we already talked about, which is another very solid movie.
Yeah, which we had a hard time talking about it because it was so good.
It's very
good.
Sad and very like depressing. Yeah.
But being between all of that shit...
he comes out with maybe the worst movie of his career. And I say that having just seen The Mummy.
Yeah. Yeah, the new Mummy, which from I haven't seen it yet, but you saw it.
I did see it.
It was not that good.
No, it's the opposite of that. It's Cocktail.
Yeah, the critics would agree new, with you.
My new fucking word for bad things.
Yeah.
How was your sandwich, Cocktail?
It was cocktail level sandwich. Which means
how'd that date go, Cocktail?
Which means she was fucking insane.
Yeah, yeah. That means. And not even the good way, like where you have some crazy sex.
No, not the good crazy sex insane.
Yeah, no. Just the like...
The like I have
creepy 80 million cats.
Yeah, I have four cats. I have 12 cats, and I also like I want to marry you type of crazy, which is way crazy.
But also, I believe in abstinence until marriage.
Yeah, yeah. So. And also, the Earth is flat. Like that level of crazy. That's what this fucking movie represents. So if you've seen The Mummy recently, and you were like, "What the fuck was that? Like, why do we have to see Tom Cruise like?" Running around away from sand and shit like that, and it was shitty. Go back and see Cocktail, and then you will know that Tom Cruise has made some shitty stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, don't do this. Now, this is a movie. Some people, admittedly, have a warm spot in their hearts for this movie.
Yes,
because you know it came out when they were young, or maybe they were teenagers or whatever.
And, or you're a bartender.
Or you're a bartender, exactly. Yeah. And look, Tom Cruise, very charming fellow, even in this movie.
He's actually very charming, even as
bad as this movie is, he's still charming as all fuck. And, you know, young Elizabeth Shue, which we're going to talk about.
Young
you
Gina Gershon.
You cannot go wrong. Yeah, Gina Gershon, the girl from Roadhouse.
Kelly Lynch.
Fucking badass Australian guy.
Oh,
Brian.
Brian Brown.
Brown, there we go. But they cannot save this train wreck.
Yeah.
This is done by a competent director, too. This is a director that's still working today. A lot of credits.
Yeah, Roger Donaldson has done like The Bank Job and like November Man. Just, I mean, not the best movies, but still like...
But like solid, respectable movies.
Yeah, movies...
He did Species, which again, not great. But you know, it did... Species accomplishes memorable. Exactly what it sets out to accomplish.
Yeah, sexy girl alien.
Yeah.
Like that's all you ever fucking needed. You remember the guy that created the alien looking dude? Now he's making a sexy girl version of that. And you get to Michael Madsen in there.
Yeah.
And you get some Species.
Yeah, yeah. It's not bad. And you know what Species does that this movie doesn't do? It has some goddamn nudity in it.
Yeah. It's got some R-rated fucking nudity in it. So this movie is rated R for straddling the line of PG-13 and R.
For like one F-bomb, maybe two at most.
Oh my God, yeah.
And a couple of sex scenes that are... The tamest the tame.
I spotted some Gina Gershon nipple.
Yeah, Francisco's mutant power once again. Just the barest, like
spotting
the
nudity.
Barest, quickest, not even full nipple. It's like half an areola.
It really was half an areola. But I spotted it. I was like, there you go. We got some Gina Gershon nipple. And that's all you get. You get some Kelly Lynch ass shots. Two Kelly Lynch ass shots, I should say.
Yeah.
That's all. That's all you get. Two Kelly Lynch ass shots and one half Gina Gershon nipple. And that gives you that R rating.
Like, I guess.
You just own up to the R rating and go full fucking nudity R or go PG-13.
Yeah.
Like, this is the worst fucking straddling of R rating.
Or mostly just make a good movie because... Or just make this movie so bad. So, going into this movie...
Let's talk about the plot.
Going into this movie, real quick, I don't know that I've ever seen this before. I know I've seen like clips of it before with him like doing the poetry at the bar and stuff like that.
And then the spinning the bottles.
And I kind of thought that maybe that was the whole movie and it was going to be so like just batshit bad and crazy that it would have been enjoyable. But that's actually not most of the movie.
No, I thought it was going to be like a Coyote Ugly type of situation.
Yeah, I did too. I thought it was all going to be at this one bar and just him doing dumb fucking tricks and
stupid fucking shit. And then like he like falls in love. And when I saw it,
by the way, if you ever see me at a bar, which I'm an alcoholic, so there's a good chance you will.
Yeah.
And you're a bartender, and instead of pouring me like a decent drink, you spend 20 minutes doing a song and dance routine with your best friend.
Fuck you.
Fuck you. I'm not giving you a tip.
Fuck you. There are scenes in this movie where Tom Cruise and fucking Brian Brown are just spinning bottles around to a bar full of people.
That are just clapping and hanging on every spin. And I know this is not a hot take. Like, this is not an original new take. People have made fun of this movie for a long time for that exact reason. But it bears repeating because it's goddamn ridiculous.
It is so fucking... When I want a drink and I'm getting ignored by a bartender, it's the worst feeling in the fucking world. Like, I hate it.
Yeah.
And to encompass that in the movie, I was like, fuck you guys.
Yeah.
These are the worst bartenders I've ever seen. But
so let's actually go through this piece of shit piece by piece.
Yeah.
So it starts with, a pretty awesome opening shot. it's this station wagon. But with like one of the we've talked about before, the attachable cop lights.
Oh, yeah. And sirens. Yeah. You just stick them on top of the car.
And so they got that going on. And it's a like this station wagon full of dudes that are clearly just fucking wasted and partying.
Hauling ass just fucking down the middle of the street of like Kentucky or some shit. Something fucking that doesn't matter. Like just hauling ass down.
Then Shout out to Kentucky.
Yeah.
And it seems like... like a really cool abuse of power. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
where you're like, just like, I'm a cop, so like I got my five buddies. We're just going to get fucking tore up and race around and no one's going to do anything. I got a siren.
Much better than the usual abuse of power, which is like beating a guy half to death for no reason.
Yeah,
Beating a black guy or a Mexican guy half to death was the usual abuse of power. This is more like a fun abuse of power. Like, it's just a bunch of good old boys having a good time.
I mean, the other one is the same, is also a bunch of good old boys having a good time. But, it's different. Not everyone's having a good time. The expense of somebody,
The expense of somebody dying.
Yeah. potentially.
But yeah, maybe.
Maybe dying. Concussion.
Yeah. But then they pull a bus over.
And then Tom Cruise gets on the bus.
Yeah, he gets out and he's like, bye, guys. And it's all these soldiers and they get back on the cop car. And then he gets on the bus and he's just off to New York.
Yeah, so I guess he's like, he just got out of the war, which in 88...
is no war.
I don't know what the fuck they're talking about, but whatever. It's based on a book, so maybe the book came out during... Vietnam? I don't know.
No, the book came out 3 years before.
Okay, I don't know what the fuck they're talking about then. No. This is an alternate universe. Well, clearly this is an alternate universe where people are amazed by bartenders twirling around bottles. And also we had a war in the mid 80s against somebody other than all the Cold War and CIA and Columbia shit.
It was like Haywood Gould wrote a book about being a bartender in Jamaica. And then they made a movie about it.
That's not about that at all.
Well, yeah, exactly. And it's fucking weird. I don't know how that's a book.
Yeah, that's a good point. Without Tom Cruise and Brian Brown, was
it? Brian Brown, yeah.
Yeah. Without those two guys and Elizabeth Shue just being gorgeous, there's no movie here. There's no story. There's nothing. There's just nothing here without the charm of those three actors.
This movie, if you like this movie, it is just based on the charisma of those three actors.
Yeah, 100%.
There is nothing else. There is no substance. There's no character arc. Everybody does stupid shit for no fucking reason.
All right, so... Anyways, he gets to New York. His uncle owns a bar, which doesn't really matter at all.
He goes in.
His uncle, again, there's so many things where it's doesn't really connect. So is he going to get a job at his uncle's bar? Because that would make sense. He's going to be a bartender. No.
He's like, I want to work in Wall Street and stuff. So he goes in and he interviews for all this stuff. And everybody turns him down. There's a whole sequence of everybody turning him down. And then he walks by another bar. And then walks in and fucking interviews to be a bartender at that bar.
And to make this doubly more insane, his uncle offered him a job.
Yeah. So
as a bartender, and he was like, no, I'm not going to bartend. But then he sees a help wanted sign at another bar and it's like, oh, I'll bartend here instead.
Yeah. And then it was just based on he's like, this guy is cooler than my uncle. So I'm going to work at this fucking bar.
Which, I mean, he's not wrong.
No, the guy is way cooler.
The guy is way cooler than his uncle. I mean, that's not even a debate. The guy is one of the coolest movie characters.
Ever. He's got life figured out until we get a big screw job.
Yeah. Oh, man, we'll get there. Yeah. It's such a fucking cop-out bullshit.
But he works at this bar, and we get a couple of scenes of him being really shitty at being a bartender. Until he's not shitty at being
until
a bartender.
Until he's super good.
Yeah. It's he's super shitty at bartending, and then the scene after that is Brian Brown showing him how to be a good bartender. And I'm like, why didn't you teach him that before he bartended his first fucking
that
night?
That is a pretty great thing.
Yeah.
Like, what job hires you and is like, oh, we'll do training like a week in.
Yeah.
Like, figure it out for a week, then we'll train you.
You're fucking loose out in this. Like, you figure out how to bartend and he's just like losing his shit. All the waitresses are being bitches to him and stuff. And then after that, the scene immediately after that, is him being like, this is how you are a good bartender.
Yeah.
Well, fucking start with that, dick. Like, yeah. You hired me. Teach me the beginning of it.
Like, right. So, the whole time, Tom Cruise is also going to... So, here's another thing. If he just got out of the military, he can go to college for free. So, yeah. I don't know why he's going to this, like, shitty community college that is having classes in, like, churches.
Yeah, he's just got a hard-on for... going to a class.
I mean, but again, it makes sense. Like, in there's so many things that you could, like, the idea of a guy that's like struggling to make something of himself and he's going to, like, he's taking community college classes and also bartending, like, that's a thing. Like, that could be a thing.
No, for sure.
But you already set up for no real reason the idea that he was in the military, which means he could go to college for free.
Seriously, there is no reason for him to be in the military.
At no point does the military thing come into play at all.
He could have just been a kid hitchhiking his way out of a fucking small town.
Yeah. Or he could have just lived in New York. Or he could have just been a guy. Like,
could have just
it
been
doesn't
a guy in New
make
York.
Any, like, at no point does the military thing
ever
come into play.
Ever come into play. None of it. So it makes no sense. Like, none of this fucking movie makes any sense. So then he just becomes a bartender, and then he's a shitty bartender until he teaches him to be an okay bartender. But then they just start flipping bottles around and shit, and they become super bartenders.
They do. They basically become like a fucking dynamic duo.
Yeah, they're like jugglers and like juggling bottles around. Everybody's just waiting for a drink for no reason.
Clearly, Tom Cruise is Robin, by the way. That's not even under debate.
No. Clearly, he's Robin.
He's clearly Robin. Brian is like the coolest boss because, like, first of all, he is constantly drinking.
Yeah, he's always drunk.
His whole breakfast is beer, like tomato juice, and raw egg.
And raw egg, yeah,
which
for sure.
pretty legit lifestyle that guy's
pretty
living.
Pretty awesome. I feel like if Rocky was an alcoholic, that's what he would do. That's
exactly
what he'd be doing. Yeah, for sure. So like, he's the coolest boss, and you know, like.
Oh, and also he has that great line where, because Tom Cruise, after he gets yelled at by all the waitresses, is like, man, they all hate me. And he's like, wait till you give them crabs, then they'll really hate you.
Yeah, which is a cool way of saying you're allowed to fuck all the waitresses.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also give them crabs, which is gross, but also really funny.
Yeah, it is. It is.
He's a pretty awesome guy. But I don't understand what the job entailed, because everybody's just waiting for one drink and they're watching him and Tom Cruise
put on a fucking show. Yeah.
And then the guy is like, I have the hottest club in town. I need you two guys to work it. And they're like, if you got money, we'll do it. And then it cuts to them working super...
the most insane non-place that has ever been a place.
It is a job. First of all, okay. So layout wise, it's actually pretty accurate. Like, it's a big nightclub. It's like three stories.
Yeah.
And then you could tell, like, the lights are right. The people are right. Everything is going on. And then they stop everything for a guy to tell a
poetry.
Poem. Yeah. It's like a guy who's like, I'm the only nightclub. What's it like?
Yuppie poet.
That's right. Yeah. And everybody cheers. And then he tells a poem, which I feel like is a way to clear the fucking room.
Yeah.
Everybody goes outside to smoke. Well, actually, you could smoke inside at that point.
Yeah.
But everybody fucking leaves at that point. You're fucking up.
Yeah, I mean, I was not in bars in 1988, but I have to imagine that poetry was not the hot new fucking thing.
Yeah, in fucking 1988 New York?
Yeah.
No.
No.
We talked about CD 1988 New York, and it was all like sex clubs and cocaine.
Yeah. So that starts off being completely ridiculous. And then he does one like fucking poem and is like, all right, I'm done. And everyone's like, no, we want more poetry.
So then Tom Cruise is like, I got a poem for you.
And so he improvs a fucking poem about being a bartender, and people fucking love it.
Everybody loses their fucking shit.
Gina Gershon loves it so much, she immediately wants to jump his bones.
Yeah. And then you get a very PG-13 rated fucking sex scenes.
Yeah, and a super PG-13 rated sex scene. Again,
half an areola.
Again, Francisco, eagle-eyed, mutant power.
I did spot the nipple on that. Yeah.
Catches that. But yeah, just a really tame sex scene. And immediately Tom Cruise, although again, they don't really commit to the bit. They don't commit to any bits.
Nothing.
There's none.
There's
no
commitment in this movie.
So the idea, I guess, is supposed to be that Tom Cruise is like instantly head over heels in love with this girl. But you don't really get that until he says it later.
Yeah. He tells Brian Brown.
Yeah, that it's a serious thing. And you're
while
like,
they're
really?
Playing basketball?
It doesn't seem
like,
serious at all.
Why are they playing basketball?
Yeah. Also, Tom Cruise, I have a hard time picturing Tom Cruise as a guy that plays basketball.
5'4", Tom Cruise playing basketball. Yeah, that's... this is just like convoluted fucking scenes.
Yeah, it really... Anyways.
And he tells him like, oh, like I banged her and all that stuff. And then he goes back to work. And then,
well, they make the bet. Because
that's the thing. This kind of running thing.
Yeah, the running thing that they're always making bets and stuff. And they're always like giving each other the business and stuff. They're not only are they best friends, they're the only two people that are friends in this world.
Hey, there's a line.
There is.
Yeah.
Towards the end there's when Tom line. Cruise, which actually is very poignant in terms of like where the character's at, but also is true throughout the entire film. So I feel like it doesn't land as good.
Yeah, no. Even Brian Brown, too. Brian Brown, he has this whole thing with Tom Cruise, and then he has no thing with Tom Cruise, and then he finds Tom Cruise again, and he has another little thing with Tom Cruise, and then there's a line where he's like, you are the best friend that I've
ever had. No, he says, hey, it's my only friend.
And that is the saddest thing I have ever fucking heard.
And it's 100% accurate.
Oh, and yeah, and it is. And it's something to be explored. Like, that's the movie that I want to see.
Yeah, the movie about Brian Brown's character.
Way better than
so
than
much
the fucking
better.
Shitty
yeah.
Tom Cruise spinning bottles movie that we actually had to see.
So he makes a bet with Tom that, like, because he's trying to convince Tom Cruise that she's only going to break his heart.
Yeah.
Right? She was just a one-night stand.
Bitches are no good. That's what his thing is.
Yeah, it's part of it is bitches no good. Part of it's also he's like trying to be like, oh, well, you know, you can't really, like, she was just like a fucking bar fling. Like, don't take that shit seriously. And he bets him that by the end of the night, she'll have, or by the end of, was it that night or this weekend or whatever?
Yeah, it was like by the end of the week.
At the end of the week, she'll have fucked some other dude. And so then she shows up at the bar and makes out with him. And he's like, I told you she would fuck some other dude.
What a piece of shit. That's a weird like lesson to learn.
And he tries to present it to Tom Cruise. Like, I just did you a favor. I taught you a lesson about how bitches be like unfaithful.
Shit move.
No, it was. I'm
it
serious.
Was totally a
but
shit
I,
move.
The way he plays it is like, hey, I just did you this great favor. Right, buddy?
Yeah. Hey, remember when I won that bet by fucking that chick that you wanted to fuck?
Yeah, the one that you, I mean, were like in love with or some shit.
Yeah, whatever.
Even if it was like
too.
Some puppy love bullshit.
Yeah. So Tom Cruise, rightly so, punches him square in the face.
Yeah.
This is a huge club. This is a big fucking club. As soon as he punches him in the face, like the music stops and everybody's watching, which is bullshit.
Yeah.
Because
well,
if you've ever seen a fight in a club, they do not stop the music.
No, they do not.
Everything keeps fucking going. All of it keeps going. So he punches him in the face and then Tom Cruise is like, fuck you, man. I'm out. And then we jump ahead like
3 years.
3 years, yeah. He's working in Jamaica, which is kind of, if you remember Cocktail from a kid, this is what you remember. 20 minutes of him in Jamaica.
Yeah.
It really, it's like because Kokomo came out for this movie and it was a big hit.
Yeah, it was.
For this movie. Which, if you don't remember Kokomo, it was all the other Beach Boys without the brilliant fucking Wilson.
Yeah, Brian Wilson.
Yeah, without the brilliant Brian Wilson. Just making a shitty fucking catchy song.
Yeah, yeah. It is catchy.
It is pretty catchy, actually.
Yeah.
It is. And also, John Stamos was their drummer for no reason during Full House.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, which is fucking garbage. Oh,
how is that? How is that getting renewed again? I don't... Ugh.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I don't know. I fuck all of you for watching that.
Yes.
Do not watch that.
Yeah.
It was awful. But, I mean, that's something to be talked about. Fucking shitty Beach Boys Kokomo.
Sure.
In this. And
just shitty music in general. This film is full of shitty music.
Yeah.
And the whole, like, they do a weird, like, fucking Jamaican cover of certain songs during the scene. And they're all garbage. It's garbage.
One of my favorite fucking Buddy Holly songs is Rave On. One of his version of Rave On. It's covered by fucking John Mellencamp in this movie.
Ugh.
Yeah, which is garbage. Ah, so bad.
Pick a name, motherfucker, and then also never sing again.
Yeah, pick a name and then retire because you, John Cougar.
We need to know what to put on your fucking tombstone.
Oh my god, you were John Mellencamp, then you were John Cougar, and then you were John Cougar Mellencamp, and all of it is garbage.
Yeah,
none of it was good. None of it was good. But yeah, no, he's got a song in this.
Yeah. All the music in this is bad. So Tom Cruise, while he's there, he meets Elizabeth Shue. And again, just a terrible scene.
Oh, yeah.
Where she comes to him and is like, hey, do you have a phone? We need to call 911. My friend's like passed out. And he's like, oh, I got this. He runs over and he's like, hey, somebody call 911.
Oh, it was the fucking worst reaction. He jumps over the bar and runs over to that chick. And then, like, spots out a couple of, like, bartender bullshit. Like, she was drinking champagne, and he's like, oh, champagne is perfume going in, sewage coming out or something shit like that. And he's like, yeah.
He has a million lines, which I do like. Like, again, the only redeeming quality of this movie is the charm of the main actors.
Of being a
bartender. And a lot of that is Tom Cruise just, like, spouting these lines and doing the Tom Cruise smile.
Yeah,
and,
being, like, a sexy bartender type of guy. Yeah. And that's exactly what he does. Like, she totally comes up, asks him to call 911. He's like, I got this, runs over, and then tells somebody else to call 911. That's pretty ballsy of him.
Yeah, it's very much so. But he spends this entire medical emergency just flirting nonstop with Elizabeth Shue, as you do.
Yeah, of course.
I don't blame him for this
at
all.
It's Elizabeth Shue. I would do that in a second.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Yeah, for sure.
So
so then she, like, comes back to the bar.
Yeah, they hit it off.
He's still trying to, he's offering her a drink, and she's like, I just want a beer, which is cool. They hit it off.
Oh, what? And then even while this is happening, Brian shows back up.
I was going to say, and then who the fuck shows up?
And turns out he's married to some rich girl that he met in Manhattan.
Again, Kelly Lynch from fucking
Roadhouse. From Roadhouse, yeah. And showing her off because she's hot, and he's trying to get Tom Cruise to come back and be a bartender at this bar he's opening, and he wants to rekindle this friendship.
Whilst,
one can almost imagine that the last 3 years, he has been completely miserable and without any friends.
Yeah, and also, whilst he's trying to get Tom Cruise to come back, he is also very much demeaning Tom Cruise.
He's very demeaning, and he's also very handsy with Elizabeth Shue.
Yeah, he gets very... And then while his wife is very handsy with dudes on the beach.
Yeah.
But he's very much being
which leads to us thinking that they had an open relationship.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that you get that vibe throughout this entire movie that she is super flirty with every dude.
They clearly have an open relationship. But he married this younger chick who's super rich, and that's his whole thing now.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I married this chick. She's super rich. She's going to set me up.
Yeah, I made it.
And all that stuff. Yeah. And then Tom Cruise is like, I'm having a good time here. I remember this guy. It's fun. We're having a fun time. We, you know, like, we do, like, a back and forth a little bit, but I'm all about Elizabeth Shue right now.
Yeah. So they fall in love in 3 days, I guess.
I'm
2 days.
Say 3 days, yeah.
2 days, 3 days, maybe.
It's a montage worth of days.
Yeah, a montage worth of days that is definitely... Look, there's no beard is growing in this montage. This is not a full-on... This is just a we've had a couple of nice days together montage.
Yeah, no, but also... if you're on vacation in the Caribbean, you don't just fall in love. You're just banging.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Elizabeth Shue, like, they do a skinny dipping. That's just banging.
Yeah.
They fuck by the fireplace or by the fire pit. Just banging.
Yeah.
Like, it's still all just like they're just doing vacation style banging.
Yeah.
But, you know, Tom Cruise kind of falls for her and
she
kind of
falls
for
him because it's a fucking movie and it's dumb. Yeah, so they fall in love or whatever, but then they're like she's doing whatever the fuck. He's bartending. Brian shows up and starts giving him the business about how he's a worker, not a hustler, and workers just work and they don't get ahead and stuff.
Yeah, hustle,
and how he could never have done what he did and like bang a hot, like, rich chick or just not even just hot, just rich. Like that he could never close the deal with a rich chick.
And then who the fuck shows up? A rich bitch.
Yeah. So, and Tom Cruise is like, watch this. He goes over. She immediately shuts him down.
This
hard.
This is actually my favorite scene in the whole movie.
This is the best part.
This is the best scene.
This is the best part. So she shuts him down hard.
She shows up. She's like, give me vodka on the rocks with a splash of lemon.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, try this drink. It's juice. It's this. Like he puts the charm on.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, this is going to be your fucking drink. It's like he makes her the sweet daiquiri drink, puts it in front of her. And then she's like, do I have the words fuck me written on my forehead? Which is shutting him down hard.
Yeah. But he, again, the redeeming quality of this movie is Tom Cruise just being charming as fuck.
Fuck yeah.
Is just like, I don't have my contacts in, can't see very well. And then
she pulls a cigarette out. He,
walking away, not even looking.
Oh my God, it's
so good.
Pulls
out a book of matches, lights one, tosses it back.
And it's just like this book of matches sliding over with the match on fire.
Lit.
And then never looks back.
And walks back over to the other group of people and starts bartending.
It is the most baller fucking move I've ever seen.
It's fucking baller.
It is so fucking solid. Like, I had to rewind it. Yeah. I was like, oh my God. Did you see that shit? That was the most.
He wanted to fuck Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
After that.
Oh my God. It was so good. To just be like shut down, to fucking be like, nah, I don't have my contacts in, which is kind of funny and all that stuff. But then to light that match and toss it and then just fucking walk away.
Yeah.
And clearly it works for him.
Yeah, yeah. Because he ends up taking her home and they fuck and whatever. And of course, Elizabeth Shue sees him because it's a movie. And that's, of course, that fucking happens.
You gotta move the fucking plot.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And then we get. The next day, he goes over to, like, see her, and but she's gone.
He's regretting it.
Like, yeah, he's definitely regretting
it. He's like, oh, I shouldn't have done that shit. And he goes to find her, and then her friend is like,
but
she left.
As you pointed out, he did get $50 out of the deal.
He did, yeah. He won $50, and he banged that rich bitch.
And he did bang a...
It's a pretty good deal, I feel. I mean, she's not bad looking. For being that age, she's pretty solid looking.
That's fine.
Not Elizabeth Shue level.
No, no. Come on now.
But as he says later, you can't pass up a bet.
Yeah, he's like, when a guy dares you to do a thing, you got to do it. That's literally a thing he says later.
We have to get to that because it is so fucking stupid.
He's so bad at everything. He's so bad at everything that's not just being a bartender.
I kind of wish that this movie was about how backwoods he was. And
you know, or just how, like, just terrible he was at everything. Not, I mean, it is about how terrible he is.
Naive he was.
Yeah.
And, like, he doesn't know what the fuck is going on. Like, I wish the movie was about a naive, Boogie Nights style level of naiveness. Yeah.
And there's a lot of opportunities for at least a salvageable movie in this.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They just can't decide what the fuck they're doing.
For sure.
So... She's gone, and he decides, like, fuck it, I'm with this chick now. Which, actually, he decides it because he's hanging out at his, like, room, I guess.
And then she just shows up.
And he's like, hey, how'd you find me?
Like a crazy lady.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, well, the guys at the bar told me. And I was like, those guys fucking suck.
Yeah, fuck those guys. Why would they tell the crazy lady where I fucking sleep?
Yeah. Like, if you work in a bar...
Yeah. There are going to be crazy old bitches after you.
And it just, I mean, are any sort of public things, like, if regardless of where you work, if somebody showed up and was just like, hey, you know, I'm looking for Francisco. Where does he live? I'm not going to fucking tell
don't
them.
Fucking, yeah, don't just be like, hey,
here's his address. Like, no, fuck you.
Show up at his place.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Anyways, that happens again later, actually. Yeah. But. People, I would like, those are not his friends. Again, he only has one friend.
Yeah. Also, maybe speaking of where I work.
Oh, yeah.
We should talk about some sponsors.
Let's talk about the sponsors. We're going to go in reverse order this time because I feel like it.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Do it.
Beer Geek Bakery giving you the very best in pastries and just delicious treats made with the best of craft beer all over Southern Arizona. You can find Beer Geek Bakery making those good, good snacks with your good, good brews. Definitely check Beer Geek out on Instagram and Facebook. Find out about all the great events. And
if you mention the podcast, you get $1 off of their full-size product.
You get a savings. And, yeah, there's just great beer, great food.
Yeah, great.
Check it out.
And then also, People's Choice Video Express for providing this movie. You can go to People's Choice Video and Rent Cocktail.
And I mean, you should do the first part of that. You should maybe not so much the second part.
Maybe not Rent Cocktail.
There's a lot of other better movies. Well, better Tom Cruise movies. Like
better Tom Cruise movies. Better Elizabeth Shue movies.
Better bartending movies.
Yeah, this is a bad. But you know, you can go to People's Choice. You can get that, or you can also just get some porn if you want to.
Yeah.
Or some video games. Why not? It's an old school '90s rental video store.
Yeah. Get Hollow Man. There, at least you get Elizabeth Shue topless.
Yeah, you get. Yeah, that's true. Paul Verhoeven? Was that Paul Verhoeven?
Is it? I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah,
I've not seen it since it came out.
Kevin Bacon being an invisible man.
Yeah, Kevin Bacon invisible. I just remember the topless scene with Elizabeth Shue. Honestly, that's all I remember from that movie.
Yeah, watch some Hollow Man. Fuck it. Oh, and don't watch Hollow Man Part 2 because that was an actual movie.
Oh wow. Yeah, of course it was.
It's all garbage. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but visit People's Choice Video, buy, rent, follow, sell, trade. Follow on Facebook and follow us on Facebook if you don't already. Follow us on Facebook. Subscribe on iTunes.
We are our own sponsors.
Hit us up on email, blockbusternostalgia@gmail.com.
Yeah. All right. So if you have to choose on this,
mm-hmm.
You got Elizabeth Shue.
Yes.
You got Gina Gershon.
Uh huh.
You got Kelly Lynch.
Uh huh.
Who do you go with?
Elizabeth Shue. Are you crazy?
I don't know, man. She's got the
Elizabeth Shue.
But like full on, like
yeah,
long run Elizabeth Shue.
I don't understand the question.
All right, in the character, if you're talking, all right. So
oh, for I guess, the character, okay, okay.
I guess we should get to it. So then, Tom Cruise goes back to New York.
Right. So he goes back with the rich lady, and she's basically treating him like a pet. He's miserable.
He's just garbage. Arm candy.
Yeah. He's just arm candy, and she's kind of like weirdly like humoring him.
Yeah, very emasculating though.
Very emasculating and also like just very condescending where she's like, "Oh yeah, no, we'll get your ideas out there. You just why don't you wear the pinstripe suit?"
Yeah.
Just really fucking condescending to him every time.
And then the whole time he knows where Elizabeth Shue works.
Right, cuz she told him where she works.
So he has this whole scene where she takes him to a fucking art gallery and he fights the dude that fucking made the sculpture.
Yeah, because that dude's being a dick too. And honestly, I would have like.
Yeah, for sure.
That guy needed to be punched really bad. Yeah.
But he bounces out, and then he goes to Elizabeth Shue. He shows up at her restaurant, which I feel like, if it's been that long, if you're talking about
it hasn't been. It's been like a month.
Even if it's been a month, and you had a romp at a vacation spot, and the dude shows up at your work, it's a like, holy shit, like, yay, what's going on? Like, I haven't seen you since then.
And yeah, but she was heartbroken. They were in love.
Why were they in love though? It was 3 days.
That was 3 magical days, Francisco.
God damn it.
You know nothing
there
about love.
There's no such thing.
I mean, that's what movies have told me. I know nothing about love myself. So
there, yeah, that's true. You are just a shell of a man.
Yeah, yeah, just bitter, hatred filled person.
But she does do a funny thing when she pours the throws the food on him.
Yeah, and again,
these are the specials, like chicken a la king, and pours on his head, and
his charms like shines through there because he has that reaction at first of just like fuck, but then he sees people kind of turning and laughing at him, and he just kind of gives them that Tom Cruise smile and is like, I wouldn't order the specials. Like, you know, he's got a line. He's got a thing. You know what? I mean, it's not great, but he's still being,
I feel like he's still picking up a chick at the end.
Yeah, exactly. He's still being Tom Cruise, you know?
Yeah. And also, like, that's a thing that I feel like he would do. Like, if you go to Elizabeth Shue and you're like, hey, what's going on? And she's just like, fuck you, man. And she pours all that stuff on you. Then you're like, all right, well, I'm going to fuck one of these bitches in front of you and then teach you a lesson about that.
Yeah. And again, that was something we talked about, all the different times of movies that this could have been better.
Yeah.
One of them is like Tom Cruise, the like just complete sex addict that just kind of can't help himself.
Yeah, because he does that a lot. Actually.
Yeah. And well, he has way opportunities to do that, but they don't really go into that.
No, because 3 days of a fucking Jamaican romance is love to this movie.
To the end of time. Yes. So
it is bad.
It's very bad.
All right. So he follows her back to her apartment, and then she's like, "I know how to get rid of you. I'm pregnant."
Which you called, and I think I saw that coming too. I mean, it's just it's such an obvious. First of all right. I don't want to tell anybody to lie because honesty is the best policy.
But that's true. Yeah, Tom Cruise shows up and she's like, what the fuck happened in Jamaica? And he's like, somebody made me a bet that I could fuck this chick. And I fucked this chick.
And first of all, he starts this sentence out by being like, it's not as bad as you think.
It is absolutely as bad as you think. Like his whole thing is like, all right, it's not as bad as you think. The guy that I was talking to, that's my friend, made me a bet that I could fuck this rich chick. I didn't want to fuck this girl. But when a guy makes you a bet, you have to just take it, which is the worst fucking answer you could give.
It's a has he talked to women ever?
Ever.
Like but we know he has because they set up the fact that he's a ladies' man. Yeah.
And it's so easy for him. We talked about it. We in the fucking spur of the moment, we came up with the answer to this. And the answer to this is, oh, I know what you saw. You saw me walking away with that lady. Well, she was really, really drunk, and I needed to make sure that she got home okay. But I didn't do anything with her. She was just a drunk lady, and I was being a good guy. Bam. You get your lie in there. Totally believable. Also, he already kind of set that up with helping her friend by being ridiculous and jumping over the bar and being like, you call an ambulance. So it makes sense that he would act that way because of a tenant or whatever you call him being sick, you know?
Yeah.
But instead, he's like, no, they made me a bet and I had to take
the bet. I had to do the bet? I mean, come on. Who doesn't do the bet?
It's the stupidest thing I've ever fucking heard. Just go with the lie, man. The lie is so easy.
Again, be honest with your partners, but...
She's not even his partner.
No, she's not. And man... Man, yeah, he what are you doing? Up, yeah. What are you doing, guy? So then he tries to be like, "Well, I was scared. You were moving so fast."
Yeah, and then she's like, "I'm pregnant."
Yeah, and I'm pregnant. And why did you tell me this if you don't want me to be a part of your life? Well, I knew that would drive you away, which is not a bad line.
That's true. That makes sense.
And he leaves all dejected or whatever.
Okay, so back to that then. Gina Gershon, pregnant Elizabeth Shue, married Kelly Lynch.
For what?
Like, which one would you choose, man? Like,
choice. One night stand, lifetime together.
I'm gonna say, all right, not one night stand, just right in between.
Just a date.
Yeah, just who would just I want to date? Just a date. Yeah.
Am I the father?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Oh, actually, that's a good question. I don't even feel like Tom Cruise was the father.
That's yeah.
Elizabeth Shue falls in love in like Jamaica. 2 days.
Yeah, yeah.
God knows what guy she was talking to in the 2 days before she met
right,
Tom
Cruise. Right, right. Yeah. I mean, it is set up that she didn't sleep with him that first day, which I guess is important.
That's not important.
They play it up like it is because there's the whole line that Brian gives him about how, like, with Gina Gershon, like, oh, she slept with you the first night? Like, that's how you know she's, like, a whore or whatever. And then, like, with Elizabeth Shue. But here's the thing. She doesn't turn him down. He turns her down.
Yeah, so then is she still a whore then, right?
I guess, by this movie's logic. Stupid. Whatever the fucking movie. Yeah. Oh, God, fucking this movie's bad.
Double standard bullshit. Yeah.
So, but yeah. But then they also, they fuck the very next day. So it's not as if, you know? Like, it's not as if they had a long courtship where proved his worth.
If you're just gonna fuck one though, all right. Look, if you're just gonna fuck one, then if you're not going with the dating thing, if you're just gonna fuck one, which one do you fuck?
I mean, Elizabeth Shue.
Like pregnant Elizabeth Shue?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Kelly Lynch.
I mean, that's not a bad answer.
I like the idea that she's married and
just fucks around and she's in a very open relationship, and it's never clear if he gets off on it or not.
No, it's not. And I feel like it should have been clear.
I feel like he gets off on it.
Yeah, there's clearly a moment we talked about where Tom Cruise should have turned to fucking Brian and been like, so what's the deal? Can I fuck your wife or
like,
not?
What is going on here? Yeah.
Because she is coming on to him really strong and he's just chilling.
Yeah.
Hanging back and watching her make out with other dudes and really hit on fucking Tom Cruise pretty hard. Yeah. So at that point, I feel like you're just like, hey, listen, You guys are not really what like can yeah, I what's fuck going your wife? On?
Like, are you trying to get a threesome? Are you into like watching?
Do you
like,
just like me?
Is she just flirty? Like, yeah. I don't want to step on any toes here, but like,
yeah, because
what's going on?
Even if it's just like she flirts, she's gonna flirt with me really hard, but I don't fuck her. I still feel like I can play with that.
Yeah, that's fine. Like, I just you need to know. And since they are the best friends that barely talk ever after their what would you say they were together? Like 6 months where they were just like fucking.
Yeah, 6 months of bartending together.
6 months of bartending together. And not just bartending together. I mean, he is his like he's his like fucking Jedi master to Padawan. Yeah, like, yeah,
for sure. He's like his mentor, his bartending mentor, which I didn't know was a thing. But, you know, he doesn't even teach him to spin shit around. Tom Cruise kind of figures that shit on his own.
Yeah, no, he mainly teaches him life lessons.
You know what he mostly teaches
and
him?
And alcoholism.
Is like, yeah, he teaches him how to be a functioning alcoholic.
Yeah.
Which goes a long way.
It goes a long way.
Yeah, but his uncle could have taught him that.
You would think, right?
Yeah. So he,
but again, the uncle owning the bar doesn't matter at all because nothing in this movie fucking matters or pays off.
No.
It's just one fucking cliche like bullshit put together.
Condescending cliche romantic comedy bullshit.
Oh my gosh. But it's not even funny.
No.
Anyways, so he, after this whole thing with Elizabeth Shue goes down, he's like, because they also made a bet that he would be working for Brian.
Yeah, Brian tells him, like,
you'll be working
in a
for
year,
me
you're
in like
be
a
work,
year, yeah.
Yeah, $500, a $500 bottle of brandy.
Yep.
You'll be working for me. So when,
he shows up with the bottle.
No, before that, though, he shows up and Elizabeth Shue, we find out, is super rich.
Oh, right. Yeah. Does that happen before that?
Yes. Because
so, yeah. So, again, somebody tells him. So he goes to bang on her door and one of her neighbors pops up and is like, oh, she's not here. She went to her parents' place and just gives him the address.
Yeah. And he shows up and it is like a super fucking rich penthouse type of situation.
Which, again, is a total fucking cop out bullshit because now she's rich. So that was his whole thing to begin with.
Completely undermines everything. And it is such a fucking cheap, like, vehicle for film to be like, oh, now he has to choose between being rich and being in love.
Yeah.
Which, that was never an issue before.
No.
He was a bartender in fucking Jamaica, man.
God, man, this movie. And then it's the fucking cliche bullshit with the dad trying to pay him off and him being like, I don't want your money, man.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's
also
bad.
We did laugh about the whole thing about, like, he's like, I'm tired of being a bartender my whole life. I want to own my own bar.
Yeah. And that's absolutely what happens. Exactly. We called that like 20 minutes into the movie. Yeah. And that's how the movie fucking is.
That's how it is. It's like, I don't want to be a bartender my whole life. I want to own my own bar and tend that bar my whole life.
That's
like,
different.
You're still a fucking bartender.
Yeah. Like, you know, I get that you're like,
it's your business
and maybe you make more money, but still.
You could call it the worst name for a bar that you could come up
Jesus,
with.
Jesus, it's bad.
Which is Cocktails and Dreams.
Cocktails and Dreams.
Ugh, Cocktails and Dreams are just fucking garbage.
It's a garbage name.
Ugh.
And it's just, it's Flanagan. At the end of it, it's Flanagan's Cocktails and Dreams, which just call it Flanagan's.
Yeah, call it Flanagan's because fucking, you're in New York, and there's Irish people in New York.
Yeah.
Like, they will go to your Irish bar.
Right.
If you just call it Flanagan's. You will make all your money during fucking... St. Patrick's Day, yeah.
I think you're vastly underappreciating how much Irish people drink.
Yeah.
It's not just during St. Patrick's Day.
No, and you don't have to own the hottest club in New York. You could just have a
You just make money
Irish
owning a bar, like bars everywhere do all the time.
So, he... like, tears up all the money that hurt. That, again, you mentioned
it's the
this,
most cliche bullshit.
That her being rich completely undermines everything that he's working for.
Yeah, of course.
Then it minimizes him to, a cash-grabbing type of guy, which makes sense if he would have played it that way. But he hasn't played it that way.
Again, because this movie goes in 100 different directions and never commits to anything. So it starts with the whole idea of him. Yeah, he wants to be like part of the fast-moving 80s business scene. But then it's like kind of mentioned here and there. And he gets with the rich girl because maybe he can get in. But it's just not like a consistent enough
piece of the thing. He's just kind of like settling for it.
And he's just going with the flow. Yeah. Like, he's really just a go-with-the-flow guy. So, like, he's not... they just don't commit to any one direction for anybody.
So when you introduce this, like, oh, her parents are rich, this is going to be a thing, You're like, why? Why is it going to be a thing?
And it's not even, it's like a thing for 2 seconds. And again, even Elizabeth Shue's character, like she falls in love super quick, right?
Yeah.
Gets her heart broken. And then like kind of takes it out on him a little bit, but is still super in love with him at the end for no real reason.
For no reason. 3 days in Jamaica is not fucking love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyhow.
So
he goes to visit Brian again, who now has the hottest nightclub in town.
And he brings him the bottle, the $500 bottle of brandy.
And he's like, oh, let's get the fuck out of here. These people are garbage. Let's go to my boat.
Yeah. And then they go back to the boat. And then you get the closest moment to a good movie that we get this whole fucking thing.
I think you're forgetting about the matches, but yes, go on.
Yeah, actually, the matches were really solid. But the closest thing to a really good movie...
Also, you're forgetting the time we almost saw boobs.
That's true.
But go on.
We saw half areola. That counts.
No, but go on. I'm but being ridiculous.
But it's... Yeah, like, he shows... he, like, goes and they drink the bottle and Brian's wife shows up.
Well, but before that, Brian's talking about how he's broke and this is all a facade and he hates life and whatever.
He's like, he lost all this fucking money.
Which, again, as you pointed out during the film.
His wife is still rich.
His wife is still rich. Also, he can be miserable and not be broke. Like, he could still have made it and be miserable and be like, you know, money's not everything. Like, if that's the fucking moral of the story, which sort of kind of seems like maybe it is, because in the end, he chooses love over money. Then have him be rich and miserable.
Nope. This movie goes full lowest common denominator.
Yeah.
Because Tom Cruise takes his wife home. His wife tries to fuck him.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can't. I can't fuck you. Which is admirable.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I can't fuck you because I'm in love with Elizabeth Shue. And also, you're my best friend's wife. Okay. That's a step for Tom Cruise that we, for no reason, he had no reason to take that step.
No.
But he still takes it.
Because he's not with Elizabeth Shue at the time.
No. And he also, he was like kind of trying to get fucked. Like, he went back to party it up. Yeah.
And he went up, like, again, why go up to her place if you're not gonna,
if you're fuck, not gonna her? Fuck her? Exactly.
When she's like, hey, come on up, why go up?
So he's like, nope. So he goes back to find Brian. Brian has killed himself.
Yeah.
Which is the stupidest fucking thing this movie did.
So dumb. Again, like you said, even if he lost all his money, his wife's family is super rich.
Yeah.
And he, we haven't established him as being that miserable. And even if he was miserable, his best friend just showed back up and is like, hey, you and me, buddy, I'm coming to work. We're going to be best pals again.
So you don't have to fucking do that shit. You can just have him be like, we talked about it. Like, he could show up and then Brian is like super coked up or something. And like,
just going crazy.
Gone crazy. And there's people around him taking advantage of him. And it's a fucking shit show. And Tom Cruise realizes that's not the life he wants.
Yeah.
That's not what he wants. He wants a family. He wants to, he wants to be his uncle, kind of. He wants to just a small, that's a realization. Instead, Tom Cruise runs down, touches the blood.
For no reason. Just like grabs the blood.
Yeah. Grabs the blood. And then it's like, ah.
And then starts shouting, call help, somebody help. It's like, you're on a boat, motherfucker. Yeah, like, no one's hearing you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the whole purpose of the boat, the implications.
Yeah, the implications.
I do feel like we're channeling a lot of Phil Simms, too, with the whole we talked about it. So I'm sorry about that to any of you sports fans out there. So he ends up going back to Elizabeth Shue. There's a terrible, awful scene in their apartment where the dad's yelling at him and he's yelling at her. The doorman, like, starts getting physical for some reason. Like, he's a bouncer.
He's a fucking doorman.
Yeah, no, fuck that shit. Tom Cruise rightfully punches him.
Yeah, the doorman's, like, grabbing Tom Cruise and trying to pull him off. And, yeah, Tom Cruise punches him in the face because he's
a fucking doorman. Well, and Tom Cruise doesn't even punch him until he grabs Elizabeth Shue.
Yeah.
Which, at that point, yeah, like, I'm fucking beating the shit out of that guy. Anyways.
And then Elizabeth Shue's like, no, I love him.
And I'm going with him. And the dad's just like, well, you're not getting any of my money. And fuck you, old man. Like, whatever. Again, this just so many like pulled bullshit from every cliche nonsense.
Yeah, not set up in any way.
God, it's bad. The dad's not a real character.
No, he is not in any way.
Ugh.
And then it doesn't make sense for Tom Cruise. It doesn't make sense for Elizabeth Shue. But they run away together and they're in love.
And they go off and they get a bar because of his uncle. Because again, now the uncle suddenly is, even though the whole uncle's character throughout the rest of the film is that he just is a miserly like old dude that takes advantage of people. He's like, no, I'll give Tom Cruise all this money to open a bar.
To open Flanagan's Cocktails and Dreams.
Yeah. Even though I already have a bar.
Yeah. And also, you could have done that from the very fucking beginning.
Yeah.
Like he could.
This is a guy. Keep in mind, this is a guy that wouldn't even buy his nephew a beer the day he got out of the military.
Out of the military, yeah. He's like, no, you got to pay for this fucking beer, motherfucker.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I just got out of the military. He's like, nope, got to pay for that shit. But now, for no reason, he has had...
The uncle has not had character development. There's been no uncle.
He's not
been in this movie. Yeah.
Tom Cruise was gone for three years.
Tom Cruise was in Jamaica for 3 years.
And then he came back and the uncle's like, yeah, fuck it, man. I'll give you some money and all that shit. Like, it makes no fucking sense. But they have a huge party because you have to have a huge party.
And he once again does a fucking poem because that is not a fucking thing that happens in any bar ever at any time. Jesus, it's dumb. And part of the poem is him making inside jokes that everyone in the bar reacts as if they've watched the movie.
Yeah.
Nobody in the fucking bar knows God, that's so dumb. These are just
people at a bar.
Yeah, like, they don't know his whole fucking life story.
Because they've also established that Tom Cruise has no friends except for Brian, who died. Yeah. He said out loud, like, you are my only friend, like, which is the saddest thing I ever fucking heard.
Oh, God, it's bad. And then, of course, at the end, because he says something about how, like, I'll never get spooked again or I'll never get, like, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, then she starts approaching him. I was just like, twins. And sure enough, twins.
Yeah.
Jesus, this movie.
I was really hoping she was going to go, like,
you're not the dad yeah. or I'm not pregnant.
Yeah, I'm not pregnant or he's not yours. He's like a Jamaican.
Which might have been kind of interesting way to end it, but of course they're not going to end it like that.
It's like one of Bob Marley's son's babies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But no, that's not how it goes. It's just like, again, lowest common denominator. Oh, I'm praying on twins. He's like, what?
And which could have worked if this was a comedy, but it's not funny. But it's not.
God damn it.
This is such a not movie.
Yeah. It should be noted, the part of fucking Tom Cruise's part, Brian Flanagan, was offered to a shit ton of people who all rightfully passed up on it.
Why did he do this movie?
Well, Robin Williams passed up on it, Jim Carrey, Robin John Travolta, Williams. Rob Lowe, Ted McGinley, Tom Hanks, Charlie Sheen, Steve Guttenberg, Bill Murray, and Jeff Bridges all passed
Bill up. Bill Murray?
Yeah.
Bill? Wow.
1988,
weird.
Bill Murray. Although, if you ever saw Where the Buffalo Roam, I feel like I could see that. Being like, I saw with the Buffalo Roam, I'm going to offer Bill Murray this.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I love Bill Murray. It's just a weird, weird choice to think that Bill Murray and Tom Cruise would be up for the same role.
Yeah, also for the Elizabeth Shue part, it was Jennifer Grey, Daryl Hannah, Demi Moore, Jodie Foster, Jessica Parker, Molly Ringwald.
That all makes sense. I mean, because I think this podcast has firmly established the fact that I love Elizabeth Shue.
Yeah.
Ever since I watched Adventures in Babysitting when I was like 7, I've had a crush on her.
It really is like heart thumping out of my shirt.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So, but that being said, she doesn't have much to do in this movie. Like, this is not, like, her character is fucking nothing. Her character is garbage and means nothing. Like,
no.
She has nothing to do really other than the only emotion she feels is flirtatious.
Pregnant
and sad, basically. That's it.
It is bad. Yeah.
Like, there's no arc. There's no real reason for her to forgive Tom Cruise or to embrace him.
Or be in love with him.
Like,
there's
he's
no
just
reason
some,
for her to be in love
like,
with
like,
him.
Look, Tom Cruise is an attractive, charming guy in this. Like, he's an attractive guy in general. He's a charming guy in this movie. Like, I get being like, oh, yeah, I'll fuck that guy, I guess. Yeah. But why? Like, there's no real reason for her to be in love with him.
What?
There's like, definitely no reason for her to be like so heartbroken and then immediately be like, oh, but I guess I love you again now. Cause.
Yeah, because there is a movie in here where he shows up again in her life and then they start a new romance. It's completely different from the old romance.
Yeah.
Which means something.
Which is built on like reality. Because the old romance was like fantasy of Jamaica and vacation and stuff. And
because
now the real
vacation shit is not real shit.
Exactly. And now they have to reform. There's 20 actual movies in this movie that could make sense. Mm-hmm. There's Brian and Tom Cruise being like bromance, like bartenders on the
and
town.
Tom Cruise learning that Brian's lifestyle is not worth it.
Exactly. And trying to change his life. There's the romance between him and Elizabeth Shue and being like, just starting it in Jamaica, having this thing and then bringing it back to New York and having them have to rekindle
in
it
reality,
and be real.
Yeah.
There's a comedy in there where it's just like the ridiculous, like bartender bartender celebrity thing. Yeah.
There's also like a hustler, Tom Cruise, that's just hustling. And then he has to like choose between money and her.
Yeah, that's 100% a thing that could have happened. Yeah.
None of that.
There's hardworking Tom Cruise that then is like faced with dilemma. Like there's a lot of fucking possible movies in this movie. But the actual movie you get is hot garbage.
Shit, yeah.
Yeah.
We've lived some like vacation time, I think.
Yeah.
Some like vacation. We have Vegas has
Vegas, New Orleans.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. I've been
San Diego.
Yeah. I've thrown up quite a bit in Vegas.
In Vegas, yeah, first night every time.
Yeah, I black out every fucking time.
Every first night.
Yeah, I've had like situations where I'm just like, all right, guys, we're going to rock it out tonight. And then that's the end of that sentence. Yeah, and then I wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning and I'm like, what happened? Oh, my God.
And what happened was that I, instead of getting laid, had to take care of your ass. That's what happened.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, for sure. Rightly so. That's what I count on.
Yeah, exactly. That's what friendship is for. One day, not getting laid.
One day you're just gonna push me in a fucking gutter.
Like, no, he's fine. Laid.
I mean, to be fair though, if the opportunity was really, really there for you to get laid, you would ditch me, and I would be okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's happened before on both ends, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
for sure.
We're terrible.
We're
human
just
beings.
Terrible asshole
yeah.
human beings.
Yeah, we really are.
For sure.
I mean, priorities, man. Mm-hmm. So,
but that's the end of this movie is just a big stupid fucking party with this again. His uncle could have done this from the very beginning, but for no reason, his uncle doesn't do it till the very end. Tom Cruise has his own bar, which is the shittiest bar ever, and you get a very like unsatisfying feeling from this fucking movie.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, none of it fucking matters. And it is garbage.
Yeah. If you like this movie, and if you grew up with this movie and have some sort of, like, Tom Cruise, Elizabeth Shue, like, teenage year thing with this movie, I get it. They're good actors. They're charming actors. They're likable. There's bits in this movie that are a lot of fun. A lot of the stuff with Brian and his wisdom and all of his sayings.
Actually,
and stuff
he's
is
like
fun.
The best part of this movie.
He is the best part of this movie.
He is. He's...
As much as I like Tom Cruise and as much as, again, in love with Elizabeth Shue, he's kind of the best part of this movie.
Yeah, he really is. He like throws all this wisdom out, but also like this cockiness.
But it's also kind of nonsense and garbage.
Yeah, yeah, like Tom Cruise has to learn that his wisdom is bullshit.
His wisdom is half bullshit.
Yeah, and also like killing him. Again, that's why killing him makes no sense.
Yeah.
Because you could have passed. You could have just fucking had him be a wreck.
His wisdom is like good wisdom for like being 23 and just like hitting the bar scene and having a good time.
So if you like to hit the bars, if you like to go to the bars here in Tucson, which is where we are, and if you go to any of the bars and there's the fucking guy. Go to the buffet. There's the guy that's like 55 and he's got a hat on and a fucking tank top on, and he's going to tell you like this is how you're supposed to bang chicks. That's the level of fucking
of that
wisdom.
Guy. Yeah,
you get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It clearly you don't want to be that guy.
No, clearly.
Clearly you don't want to become that fucking 55-year-old with a hat on guy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're like, I want to know what he knows.
I live in constant fear of becoming that guy.
Yeah, exactly. I also, like, clearly I don't want to be that guy, but being that guy, maybe not the worst thing.
Yeah. For me. Yeah, I mean, depending. Yeah, I mean, I guess there are worse fates.
Yeah, one of them is I could be dead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ghost
could be well, but I mean, ghosts could be cool.
Ghosts are really cool. We talked about this at Beetlejuice.
Yeah, yeah. Ghosts could be very cool. The worst is if you were dead and not a ghost, but you know, you faded into nothingness because there is nothing.
Yeah, no, that fucked that.
No shit. Eternal soul, no heaven, no hell, just. The black void.
Fuck all that
nothing.
Bullshit. I really love the movie.
Yeah, no. Ghosts are cool, though. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Especially if you got to kill people. I mean, not that I want to kill people, but especially if you got to kill people.
We don't want to kill people, but goddammit, if you get to kill people, it's pretty fucking rad.
Yeah. So anyways, this movie's bad. Don't watch it, whatever. Recommendations. If you like Cocktail, I don't know, don't. But watch these movies instead, I guess. Francisco.
All right, I'm going to go Brian Brown's other movie that I recognize him from. He's an Australian actor. He made a movie like in 86 called FX, and he made a sequel to it, FX Part 2. And the whole movie, yeah, the whole point of that movie is that he's a special effects guy in Hollywood who then gets thrown into like this murder mystery, and he has to use special effects to solve the mystery. He has to make like prosthetics and like animatronics and shit to solve the mystery. It's actually a really bad movie, but I love that whole, I love that like insider Hollywood effects, special like special effects guy twist to it. And he made, well, they made, even made a part two, which if you grew up in the 90s and had the Action Channel, you probably saw FX2. Which had, it had a suit that you could put on that controlled a robotic clown to do your bidding. And he has a whole fight with a dude where he's in the suit and he controls the clown and fights the guy with the clown suit. It's pretty fucking stupid. But I feel like you should watch it because it's one of those movies that it's got like this cool little like Hollywood Insider FX thing. And it's also like kind of like just a fun popcorn movie.
Excellent. So I'm going to recommend a series, actually, that I really like that I've told you about before off air. And that's Party Down, starring Adam Scott and a plethora of other very good, very funny, charming actors.
I fucking love Adam Scott.
Adam Scott's great.
So much.
This is a show. It's ran for two seasons. Unfortunately, that's it because it kind of leaves it open-ended. But it's a show about a failed-ish actor. It's set in LA, it's set in Hollywood, and it's this catering company, and Adam Scott plays a guy that kind of hit it big in a commercial but then never could like parlay that into actual film roles, and now he's going back to like he's telling everyone at least that he's stopped, he's not acting anymore, he's just gonna do like catering and bartending and food service and stuff, and everyone else in the company wants to make it big. They want to be actors. They want to be screenwriters and everything else. And part of the big kind of through line is his kind of maybe romance with one of the girls in the show. And like whether or not they're going to get, it's a bit of a Sam and Diane thing, but it's also like they want kind of different things out of life. It's an interesting relationship that they have, and the show is really, really funny. Like, it's very, very funny, but it also has a lot of really nice, poignant moments of him kind of struggling with what he wants to do with his life and everyone else kind of struggling with those moments where you sort of think to yourself, like, maybe I'm never going to do what I want to do. Maybe this is it.
I just have to be a bartender.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of really like nice little needles within all of the jokes, and like his boss is fucking hilarious, and there's a lot of really funny stuff, but there's enough little needles in there that makes it really compelling and interesting. It's a great show, and I wish it would have gone on longer.
All right. Rock and roll. What was that, like on HBO, right?
I have no idea.
It was just on fucking downloadable.
Yeah, I watched it on like Hulu, I think.
Well, you talked about the fucking Sam and Diane, and Cheers was an interesting show because I used to be super into fucking Cheers when I was a kid, and I was a kid.
Yeah.
And this is a show about alcoholics.
Yep.
Hanging out in a fucking underground bar.
And about the bartenders and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it really is. If you've ever been like an alcoholic like we are, and you go to bars enough like we do,
it's funny because it's true.
Yeah, you see some shit going down, and it's true. Like, that's what Cheers is like. It's like, and it's funny because they did perfectly cast like 50-year-old dudes.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny that, like you said, that we as children liked the show.
Yeah. We were like, I'm on board with this. Sam is trying to get,
because this is clearly a show that's made for older people that have been in bars, that have went there after work to get a beer, seen the guys that are like, I hate my family, seen the other guys that just want to like talk, seen the guys that want to be alone, seen the bartenders going through, like, this is clearly a show for adults.
Yeah, it really, it's like you said, like, it's the people that go to that went to the bars and saw the fucking saddest human beings. The
barflies, yeah.
Yeah, the barflies are the worst.
And we're like, what if we made a hilarious comedy about these incredibly depressing people?
Yeah. He's an ex-baseball player, And he is surrounded by incredibly depressing alcoholics.
And he himself is an alcoholic, right? Like, he's a recovering alcoholic.
He falters a lot. Like, it's not, he's in, even not even like an alcohol. He's always, he's like a sex addict too.
Yeah. He's got a lot of addictions. Although sex addict, I've always thought is kind of a weird thing because aren't we all?
Yeah. Oh,
ladies,
as men,
aren't we all ladies?
Like, yeah. As guys, we're all sex addicts. So it's just like every now and then you find a chick who's a sex addict and you're like, it's like the Holy Grail. Ark of the Covenant. Right. Like, you're like, what? And you go to the meetings and then like in the meetings, you're just like.
Oh, like what was that movie with Sam Rockwell, right? Choke.
Choke. That was, yeah. The whole thing with Choke is like he goes to the sex addict
to get to fuck.
And he fucks. Yeah, exactly. Because they're sex addicts.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not a real thing. We're all made to fuck. Like, that's all we want to do. That's what we do, the stupidest shit that we do.
Yeah, we really do. Well, blockheads, I think that's the end of this here fine audio program. Maybe not fine. This is the end of this program, which may or may not, but is definitely only audio. We'll be back next week with, I think, a plethora of guests. Wrath of Khan. We're revisiting Star Trek for some just true nerd shit. And
get on board with this, with the best Star Trek movie ever made.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, like, easily. Sure. Like, for far sure. and away.
Yeah.
J.J. Abrams, come at me. So.
Yeah, fuck that shit. he's latched on to the next Star Wars.
No, he already knows that it's the best.
Yeah, it doesn't matter anymore.
That's why he fucking tried to remake it, all right?
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
Anyways. Until then, though. I've been E.G. Seitz.
I've been Francisco Landin.
We'll be back next week. Blockheads, remember to subscribe, like, share, email us, Twitter, all that bullshit. Good night and good night.